Welcome back to Frenemies, the podcast where sales and marketing talk. My name is Julia Hartwig. I'm the head of marketing at the Sales Enablement Platform Presenter. And I have the honor to talk to
Matt from, I'm the founder of Sales Fellowship and work with a couple of companies on that. And I represent sales and I'm delighted to be with a marketing queen. I don't know. It's like Julia today.
I'll take that.
Yes,
today we're actually talking about one of my favorite topics, and that is brand. But before we get into that, for the first time, I would like to make a bit of promo, because on May 25th, I'm speaking at the B2B Growth Day. And yeah, you can sign up. I'm going to leave the landing page in the description below. Unfortunately, I will be speaking by myself and I won't take Ahmed with me for that. But I'm speaking, of course, on 4 initiatives to achieve sales and marketing alignment to drive revenue growth. So a good topic. If you are sad that Ahmed can't join me, then there are other speakers as well. We have Maike Zimmermann speaking on rethinking SaaS marketing with moving beyond traditional campaigns. And then we have the brilliant Jillian Els speaking on driving B2B SaaS growth with revenue marketing. So I think there's going to be lots of good content. Check it out, sign up, and join in. And now we can start talking about brand.
Yeah, actually, but it seems quite interesting. So I would love to join. But you know, it's like there's some guy missing, of course. So I can hit that. Like there's some like Ahmed or something. You know, it's like
really
you can find him on LinkedIn.
I don't know. It didn't pop up. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So why I love brand so much is actually it's one of the areas that got me into marketing. And a lot of people think that brand is something very subjective and fluffy, but actually brands and how they work and the impact they have on us and our decision making is a very scientific thing. And it's very psychological, which are some of the things I'm going to talk about today. But first, I would actually like to ask you, what do you think? What is the amount of steps a person should take per day?
At least 10,000.
That was the good answer. Because actually, the fun fact here is that no health organization in the world, also not the World Health Organization, is making a statement the general, because of course the amount of steps every person should take depends very much on a lot of factors, right? Like what is their normal physical build and stuff like that, what other motions do they do. So actually there is no average amount. So where this number that we all have in our minds comes from, these 10,000 steps, is marketing. Because a very popular brand, I'm sure we all know which one we're
He's
talking
lying.
About here. They, when they came out with their product to track steps, they, you know, came out with this campaign to say you should reach 10,000 steps. And of course, everybody was wondering, well, how many steps do I actually take? And this became like the thing we're all thinking of, okay, 10,000 steps is the healthy amount. So just to kick off, this is the power of marketing and of brand.
You know, it's like that's why I always hated marketing. They are deceiving us. Guys, you know, it's like, don't believe marketers.
We are evil.
Don't believe
why
that.
Why do you think I do this every day?
Yeah, really evil.
Okay. So next question for you. So what is a brand? Like, how do you define brand?
How do I define brand? So what I would say, brand is... when you are, for my perspective, when I try to sell something and when I mention its name or, you know, like in a cold call or something, hey, do you recognize, I don't know, XYZ? When they say yes, that is a brand. When they say, no, I didn't hear about it, it's not a brand.
No, okay. No, what you're defining right now is brand awareness. That is what you're defining, right?
Yeah.
If brand awareness is there or not.
But when is, for example, you know, it's like, a brand without brand awareness is not a brand.
But what I'm talking about here, how do you define? So because you're defining right now if something is a brand based on if people know it, so the awareness of it. But actually what a brand is different factors, which I will talk a little bit about now, which also dives a bit into the psychological part of it, but also why brands are important. On the brand psychology, there are basically three areas. One is the color psychology. So, of course, our brains are wired to perceive different colors and have different emotions to colors. So, for example, the color red, of course, is like for you know, anger and things like that. So very intense. The color green by now is like for sustainability and environment and happiness, right? So every color has a different impact. But what it actually also does is that colors with that share a specific emotion towards a brand. So if you think, for example, of McDonald's with their red and yellow, you don't perceive them as a luxury thing, right? It's it like already in the colors, your perception is this is cheap, right? This is affordable. So that is what kind of the power of the color psychology bit is, that you already share something on what your brand stands for in the colors. The next part is pattern recognition. Our brains are wired to see patterns. Because, of course, patterns explain the world to us. So that is just human behavior. We want to understand what is happening. We want to understand the world. So, you know, we are wired to recognize patterns. And as a brand, if you have consistency in patterns and shapes and forms you use throughout the buyer's journey and throughout everything you're sharing, that is a very consistent pattern. And what that means is that people can build trust, because they understand the pattern and they understand what it stands for. So that is also why, you know, brand consistency is such a big thing. And one of the parts as a marketer I dislike about working with sales on brand, because I have seen a lot of sales reps butcher a brand, putting out their own things and designing their own things that don't really fit to what you want to do and what you stand for. And that is painful.
Definitely, you would hate to work with me, because no, I love designing things on my own needs. You know, it's like, oh man, why did you do that? Actually, we are planning to do it like this, but like, I'm on Canva, I do my stuff own. You know, it's like when someone needs a document or, you know, like something else or personalized outreach, I just create the content.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So,
yeah. I am marketer's favorite guy, so.
And then the third part of the brand psychology is a sense of belonging. So again, it's a deeply like human wired thing that we want to belong to a group. And actually, strong brands have exactly that. They have very clear values that their users, their audience, their consumers align with and feel like, I am in that group. I align with these values. And a really good example of a brand, a consumer brand that all marketers love is Patagonia. Why? Well, first of all, their products are really cool. But second of all, it's also because they are so clear in what they stand for, in like sustainability, in, you know, we actually want to support the economy. You know, they're every year rebelling against Black Friday and saying we're not participating in it because it's like over like, you know, consumption and people buy stuff they don't need. We don't stand for that. And we know the value our product has. So that is overall kind of the brand psychology. And what you do as a marketer, as a brand creator, is basically design a brand personality. You give your company, your product, a personality in form of a brand that is, you know, like a human. It says like, we are, you know, no bullshit. We are always straight out, but we're also friendly. We are nice. We are funny. All of these things. And what you do with that is have this be your brand's personality throughout everything. And this is, of course, where like sales come in as well, because every person, especially us social selling, you know, we stand for our brands and the companies we work for as well. Exactly. But now comes a part that I really, really love about brands that is super interesting, I think. In our brain, we have two systems when we make decisions. We have the analytical brain, the cognitive one, and that is the one we all want to go for when we're making a decision, right? Because we all want to make a sound decision that is based on analytical factors. But then we have the second part, and that is the intuitive brain. That is the one that, you know, is gut feeling and just like goes for it. And the impact brands have is basically they are influencing our reward system in our brain. It's called the mesolimbic system. So brains actually influence that and make you switch from the analytical brain to the intuitive brain. So actually decisions become a no-brainer. If you would have to get a new device, Ahmed, let's say a new smartphone, which one would you go for?
Yeah. Right now, Apple.
And that is because of the brand. You wouldn't even have to think about it. You can come with a lot of, I know you're going to come with a lot of other arguments, but basically, like, you know, this is the switch that a brand has. It's like you feel sound about your decision going with that brand because it like triggers your reward system and it switches from analytical to intuitive. Now, of course, a lot of the examples, or actually all of the examples I mentioned so far are B2C companies, right? And that is where the branding started up. It was always kind of this B2C thing. And I think, you know, let's talk about what reasons are why B2B companies are first catching up on branding.
So actually, you know, it's like, about branding, I totally agree with you on all these points. I cannot say even it's like it's the truth actually. You know, it's like it's psychology, etc. But what I also realize, you know, it's like when it comes to brands, for example, you know, it's like British Pet BP, you know, it's like they messed up with the Gulf. I don't know, it's like there was a leak of petroleum on the shores and killed thousands of animals, and at the same time they created a campaign to make the world more, you know, it's a green in a sense, you know, it's like they are all like it gives me like it's a little bit creepy, you know, it's like when something comes to bigger brands, for example, you know, it's like when they say it's like we are caring about the world, but we know how, for example, some of the famous brands' shoes made in Vietnam, or you know, it's like which type of under which type of conditions.
And that's what I mean with consistency. That's why consistency is such a big part, because what happens there is that there is no trust, right? Because you see these different things, there is no consistency, so it tells you can't trust it. Which at the same time also means you're not gonna be a loyal follower. But basically, like you know. It has always been apparent for B2C companies that they need to have a brand and they need to be strong in that to influence the decisions. Also, of course, because the decisions between, I don't know, buying consumer products to buying B2B products is very different, right? B2B products are more expensive and you're not making a decision for your personal, like, kind of well-being, but actually for your company, so in your professional life. So I think the main assumption has always been that B2B buyers are more analytical and that price is a bigger factor. But actually by now it's like been shown and proven that B2B buyers are just as emotional as B2C buyers are.
Definitely. You know, it's like what I saw, it's like analytical part is, you know, it's like when we say like about 25-30%, because you know, it's like during the process of selling, how you build the relationship with the stakeholders, you know, it's like how you present the product, you know, it's like how was your behavior, even you like, you know, adding some, you know, it's like if you show some interest, let's say from a different culture, from a different region, when you show some interest, you know, it's like made some good jokes, you know, it's like how you behave during all those process, how you help those guys, it really helps them. It really influences their decision making process, even with the same price or a little bit better product, you know, it's like they go with you because what they also want is you know, it's like a good customer service at the end, and you provide with your gestures, and you know, it's like how you behave in this process, how you will help them to get along with your product.
I actually brought a number you're not gonna like because it kind of goes against what you just said. But studies show
just that, guessing, by the way, it's not. Yeah.
So, 80% of B2B buyers have already a vendor in mind before they do any research on a solution they want to purchase. And to top this off, 90% of them will go with the vendor they had already in mind. So even though they do the purchase and they talk to the sales reps, and I'm sure they all do a fantastic job, actually who they will go with and the product they're going to purchase is the product that they already had the brand awareness of.
Yeah, you say, you are saying that we need marketers as sellers, you know, it's like
no.
Sell those products.
But what I'm saying is brand...
Without them, it's not possible.
Yeah, well, but it definitely makes it more difficult.
Yeah, of course.
Because again, it's like even as B2B buyers, it's the reward system, because you have the feeling, okay, you know of this brand. So people actually have a connection to a brand as if it was a person, because they feel a sense of belonging and they feel like, okay, we know the values of this company, of this product. So even though we think we're making an analytical decision, it is deeply influenced on the intuitive side, which makes you believe you're making a good decision. So even as B2B buyers, it's a rewarding thing of, okay, I have the comfort of I'm purchasing something I know already the value of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is why I'm trying to say that branding is important. And I feel like you're going to disagree.
I totally. No. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. You know, it's like we definitely need marketers in this world. Sometimes they are evil, but not all. So.
Okay, so now talking about how can we actually use all of this in B2B sales and marketing, right? So for me, essentially, not every company needs to have a super elaborate brand personality and all of these things. I think consistency is insanely important, which is both kind of the visual side, but also tone of voice. And also when it comes to values, like, and that is essentially like kind of the tone of voice. But how do we always want to approach people from the first interaction to the last interaction? Like, and that goes through departments, right? That even goes to like to product, right? What does our product stand for? What does our like product development stand for? And actually give people. And that is the part that is so difficult also in the sales and marketing alignment, right? Because I get that sellers are like, well, but I am in this situation, the face of the brand, and I know what I do. But it gets really difficult for marketing.
Exactly.
But essentially, I like to look at everything on the marketing side as a brand touch point. And I think, for example, webinars are a really great part, because you can say, yeah, okay, this is just a webinar, like, you know, it's just this one event, but actually what it is a brand experience. You have people speaking there, and, you know, either you give valuable information that is worth people's time or you don't. And it's exactly that. It is actually like a first touch point that is also visual with your company. But the same goes through like content and all of these parts, because it is always this, what is the mode and the moral we want to operate with? And that is the difficult part also in like, how do we want sales reps to approach prospects? Do we want them to be funny, because that is our brand personality? We like humor. Or do we want them to be like, you know, fact-based and like, just, did you know that if you don't purchase this, you'll lose 60% of revenue?
Yeah. Does every company, you know, it's like you said, not everybody, even let's say every company needs a brand. Like you said, not everyone needs to, you know, it's like build their brand, etc. So is it actually possible in this world, like in software sales, you know, it's like there are tons of softwares, in most cases, you have tons of competitors in your area, and some of them are really big. Let's say sales intelligence tool, like we have the giant ZoomInfo, and I want to compete with them directly, but building a brand, I don't have most of the times, you know, it's like they are startups. So it's like they don't have the right resources for that. So what would be your suggestion for them?
So
if like, how can they decide if they should have built their brand or not?
So first I want to say, I didn't say not all companies need a brand. I said not all companies need an elaborate brand personality. Because exactly that point, definitely like in this market, and I mean, every market in B2B SaaS right now is crowded. I don't think there is any solution that doesn't have competitors. And even if you don't have competitors, like direct competitors, you're still competing against other solutions. Because, you know, companies right now are not going to purchase 2-3 solutions within the same area. So, you know, there's lots of competition out there, and branding is the only part that, like, you know, helps combat that and position you in the market. So definitely every company, no matter the size, needs to work on their brand. The difference is just how elaborate you do this and how like detailed you work this out. So, you know, you might not have to build a full brand personality and like, this is like, you know, all of the, emotions we want to trigger. This is how we always like do everything, because you might not have the team, nor the time to do that, but you definitely need to have like, you know, the three areas I pointed out. You need to have these pinned down. What is it we're standing for? What is it like that people that our target audience, that prospects actually can aspire to and can connect with? So that is definitely a really important thing. And while I'm not, you know, super much into, we need elaborate brand playbooks, because again, like the question is always, how much value does it give and how much is it actually just stress? And, you know, it doesn't get like read by sales anyway. You need to have a certain standard to ensure consistency. So, you know, I mean, I've just done this entire exercise at my company, and worked these things out. And it is kind of like a middle ground of, we have a very clear standardization on, this is the shapes we use, the colors we use, this is how we talk to people throughout. But this is basically like, on team and time-wise, how far I can go. You know, like every seller needs to take this in their own way. I cannot, and I don't want to control that. They have like the outline of, this is what we're standing for. We want to be always transparent. We allow ourselves to be, a bit weird and a bit funny, because that is just who we are also as like, you know, team members and as people. So that is what we want to stand for. And this is kind of, you know, how far I went.
I see. What one thing about, you know, it's like providing value, the thing before my question, you know, what I see, for example, it's like test daily so many tools, actually, you know, it's like with so AI tools mainly. So we talk about it on our last episode. What I see in some companies, you know, they just, when you sign up, you just like, this is the premium package, this is the premium package, this is the premium package emails. And it just bothers, you know, so I just unsubscribe to them. But some of them, they provide such valuable information. They have like, you know, to gather news from other AI tools, even their competitors, you know, it's like, they're so open. You know, I just want them to send me an email. I just even booked, you know, it's like for one tool, I just wanted to learn more about their plans for the future plans. It was a new tool. So I just, you know, booked the meeting because he provided such a good value, you know, it's like with their email newsletter. So we can say it was a newsletter after I signed up. So it's like, yeah, I just want to be a part of it. You know, it's like, if I can help, you know, so I can, you know, it's like recommend it to someone, I will do it. I know that they don't have much money so far to pay me, but I will even with that, I want to help them. You know, it's like it is one thing that I also see, you know, it's like providing value, clear value, because, you know, it's like we both are really active on LinkedIn. We come up with a lot of content, you know, on your eyes, like reading a lot of posts, like them, etc., dislike them in many ways. When I see something like pushy guys who's constantly mentions their, you know, premium package, premium package, premium package, even I know I'm in sales, the product is not ready yet to, you know, it's like to pay something, even, you know, it's like $3-$4 bucks. right now. And I was like, maybe in the future, I don't know. But it's like providing that value, be that valuable. It's like it keeps me there. You know, it's like even I didn't had the chance to try yet. I just, you know, it's like sent me a reminder to check it in 1 week or 2 weeks or so. So it's really important, as you said. I confirm as a sales guy, so a consumer in that standpoint.
I didn't see that coming. That is already a great win for today.
Yeah, today is I'm really agreeable because, you know, it's like this is one topic that I'm don't have much thing to say. So that's why I'm just like, yeah, you're great. Marketers are great.
Yes, we already talked a bit about basically how to use it and start this app. But again, for me, the most important part is to have brand consistency throughout everything you put out. And mm-hmm. you made a really good point with the valuable insights. I mean, that is also how I approach it when it comes to content. What you want your brand to stand for, your content should stand for as well. You know, it should give value. It should be informative, and all of these things to actually, you know, bring your brand into it. Because if it's just written by AI, kind of blog post summarizing what already exists there, it doesn't have value. What do you want people reading it to take away from it? Like, you know, what is your role in that? But, you know, I mentioned a lot of B2C companies because that is just like the kind of strong foundation for branding. But obviously B2B is catching up and there are a lot of strong brands in the market. I mean, you already mentioned ZoomInfo, but their competitor Cognosum, for example, they have an incredibly strong brand. And I can just say as a marketer, what they're getting so right is like exactly the sense of belonging. The way they're talking, they're really like straight out and we say the truth. When you visit their website, all of the headlines literally say what they do. I think one of the headlines they have on the website is like, we get you the phone numbers of the people you want to reach out to. And it's like, you can't break it down more or make it more clear. Yeah. That is exactly like what it is. And that is exactly like what you're trying to achieve. So they, for example, did this super well with building a community of marketers who aspire to them because like they speak our language and they address these things. But also because they're always valuable. Like, you know, I received their newsletter and stuff like that. I see a lot of their content that they share in the team and everything there is consistent. So even though, like, you know, every person there doing social selling and posting, of course, has a different personality and different topics, there is the consistency there because they have this like agreed upon mode of operating and communicating and how they want to do things. So that for me is one of the companies that that do B2B branding very well. I don't know if you have other examples.
Other examples, actually, one of the biggest examples is Lemlist. You know, it's like with their, actually, I'm working now with the, you know, it's like head of marketing from Lemlist.
Are you telling me you're cheating on me?
And, yeah.
Next thing you're telling me, you're bringing out a podcast.
I will bring him on our podcast, of course. as a guest, Julia. Yeah, you are the host. They are the guests. You are, you know, it's like you have the main marketing spot in my heart, you know. It's like they are just like guests, you know. They come in, they and they go. They're like I don't know, a one night stand, so in my heart. So
that was great.
Hope you don't cut out this scene. You know, I was like, okay. So Lemlist and Lead Delta created, you know, they were all over LinkedIn with, you know, it's like they also did a really good personal branding for each of their employee. And at the end, you know, they go from 0 to 10 million ARR actually in one and a half years. And the value that they provided with their content on LinkedIn, if even the company page, was huge. You know, it's like I was like literally following every employee. It was actually one of my friends was there as well, Jelly, at that time. And it was like, okay, you know, it's like, when is the next post coming out? I was even, you know, it's like, click the bell to, you know, it's like, to get notified and learn more about it, about, you know, it's like LinkedIn, because I was really interested in, I was like, personal branding at that stuff. So I was really new to that. I just wanted to expand my knowledge on that area. And right now, well, like, everyone, when it comes to, you know, it's like LinkedIn automation, you know, it's like all that relevant stuff, everyone says at first, oh, we use Lemlist. You know, it's like Lemlist became a brand on that space. So, yeah.
No, that's exactly. That was a great example. Obviously, there's lots more great B2B brands we could name here, but we'll keep it to these examples. And if you want to learn more about branding, how to position yourself as a brand yourself on social media, but also your company, I can recommend the podcast Shoot the Shift. They're also on YouTube, and they have really great conversations and lots of input. So I'll put the link in the descriptions as well. And then we say goodbye for today.
Bye-bye.